morning, good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me, your host Gail Sylvia on sylviaglobal.com. I am so honored and thrilled to bring to you a special message from a very special lady, Melba Moore. She's a Tony Award winner, actress, singer, mother, and just an overall talented, gifted person, and it's nice to know that she is bringing her talent to the world and available to share with sylviaglobal.com listeners today. Melba?
Hi.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm feeling very, very well. Thank you.
You recently returned from a tour in UK, is that correct?
I sure did. It was my debut performance. I've never actually toured in live performances with a live band until last week. And it was just absolutely amazing. My music has been very popular there for the last 20 or more years, and they've kept it alive, and they've loved it until I could finally get there. So it was very exciting.
What's involved with getting you? What took so long for you to get there, knowing that you had such a large following?
Well, I had a change in management, and that's a very deep and, difficult and it was difficult for me, but it's good management is hard to find, I'll put it that way. And you can be a great artist, but if you don't have the business team to support your work, then you can't get it out there. It's a company or business like anything else.
How did you learn to improve your own management skills as a result of some experiences that reveal that to you?
Well, first of all, by learning that I, like anything else, am a product, and it has to be manufactured. It has to be promoted, and you have to get the word out there, and you have to be a salesman. You have to be an agent. You can't just be a singer. And so when my career was shut down by my former manager, and, you know, people give you a lot of advice and saying, well, go to this manager, go to that one. And I went to everybody, and they were not able to do for me what I needed to do. And when, the dust settled, it was either I became my own manager or I didn't have a career. And so I began to start from scratch and go out and learn how to do all of the things that a business manager does. And it, in a way, put my skills as an artist on the back burner and pay attention to the other parts that go with it, because you are a product. That's just the bottom line. And if you're a person or an item, it still has to, the word has to get gotten out. You have to reproduce it. You have to figure out what your price is going to be. You have to do all those details. And so that's how I learned from the ground up, doing it for myself.
How did you know when the dust had actually settled?
You can't pay your rent.
That's right. That'll take you right there real fast.
That's the reality for everybody, honey.
Everybody, especially these last few years here in the United States, with
right,
so many people
right,
losing, you know, their
right,
homes. And how does it affect your? How do you pull through in terms of your faith and your self-esteem and just your self-confidence when the dust has settled?
Excellent questions, because that's when you get to know who you are and what you're made of. Because any job that you have, any vocation that you have, any calling that you have takes so much of your focus. And if you get to be successful at it, you think that's who you are. But you are more than the sum parts. And when that is gone, then you feel like you're gone. You feel like you're dead. And you feel, now for me, the story will come out, and it has come out on Unsung and some other areas, that I didn't do this to myself. This was done to me. However, you feel the loss of all of this, and you know that you had to have some responsibility for it, but you don't know what it was when something was perpetrated on you. So you just feel stupid. You feel ashamed. You you feel worthless because you don't know what to do. Now you're a totally different entity than you were before. You had, like, if you're with record companies, those are huge corporations that have begun by people decades ago. Now you have to start where they started and start all over again. And you have no clue what to do. So your self-esteem does not exist.
How do you avoid the bitterness?
Well, I'm a born-again Christian, and thank God I was that before all of this happened to me.
Yes. And that helps keep your priorities in place, huh?
No, because you say, God, why did you do this to me?
Okay.
And that's the worst thing in the world to do, because he didn't do it. But then you begin to know, well, you know, I guess I don't really know you, God. They say this, and if you did this, you know, then how could you? You know, that's the part that happens. But those are the questions you have to ask, and then you have to go through the painful process of eventually being able, well, first you can sit down. I was born again, so the first thing I did was go to church and sit down and ask, why did this happen to me over and over and over again, and in tears and crying out to the Lord. But one thing I'm going to tell you, to skip to the chase, God hears the cry of the poor, and that's what he came for, us who were devastated and debilitated and robbed and pillaged and born into insanity. He came for us. And so when you're sitting there stunned and you have nothing else, nothing makes sense, somehow there is still the peace of God. Not that you understand that, but that's why you go to church, because that's where he tells you to come, where he will be in power. When you don't understand nothing, you can't do nothing, you don't know nothing, but you just sit there. And you hear whatever preacher is there telling you what is the word of the day, so you focus on that, and that's your life and your bread and your sustenance. And the rest of it for that moment is shut out, and that sustains you for that moment. And then you go, you do that all the time, and you realize you have been sustained through this. I can kind of tell you what the process is. Well, this is the process. You go to the Lord every day, and you go to him first. And each day, every moment from the first moment that you wake up, I wake up and pray first. I have prayer as I go. And then while I'm still in that state of mind, I get up and go take my bath, which is kind of it's like being baptized every day. So the Spirit of the Lord speaks to the waters. He tells you that, but nobody ever thinks about it or does it. But when you take your shower, that's why people sing in the shower. It's the Holy Spirit. I can tell you why, because everything was taken away but him, okay? You take your bath or you take your shower, and you put your mind on the Lord, and he speaks to you loud and clear there. Then the first thing you do is whatever you have to do, do it in that spirit. Then he will guide you. That's the process. And if you do that, I don't have to explain it to you. It'll work for you.
How do you continue in that path once things start to look better?
Okay, that's a good question, because when things start to look better, our tendency is to want to fall away and go back to the comfort of kind of nothingness. Mm-hmm. And that's what the pitfall is. Now you have to become a disciple. Now you have to become disciplined. And that thing that you did that took you up out of the depression, that must become a ritual every morning. You got to get up and do it again. You got to get up and every day, and that has to be this way you start your day every day the rest of your life. Then all you can do is improve.
The first day
you don't feel like doing it,
yeah,
and that's the best time to do it, because that's the devil talking to you. Of course, you don't want to listen to him.
Yeah. That's when we need to make sure that we do it and need him the most, is when we don't feel like doing it.
You know what? It's that simple. It's that easy. You just get up and do it and make him, he says, make him first. And it's that easy. Before you even get out of the bed, say, God, God, just say God. You know, if you ain't got nothing else to say. Because I'm talking to people who may not be religious or who never heard
correct.
Of this before.
That's correct.
Or perhaps don't even believe. But I tell you, if you do it, you will see the difference that it makes. Because we are our thoughts. We are what I do. We are what we eat. And if you give yourself to the thoughts of God, just calling on his name is most powerful.
How did he reveal himself to you on a day-by-day basis as you went through that journey?
I'm telling you how he does it.
I mean, did you find that you had strength and peace of mind to just take the next step, a next smaller step, a next bigger step, and then things just started opening up for you?
In general, yes, but I would like to take it smaller than that so people can really understand what the process is.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this ritual every day, first of all, sometimes I'd be in tears and depressed and oppressed and suppressed. So I thought I was just, you know, wasting away, and I thought my health wasn't good. My emotions were so bad, and our emotions are so huge. We have no idea how big our emotion is in terms of what we pay attention to. We always talk about how we feel, but that's not the most important thing. God is the most important thing. He has to put information into you so then you will feel according to what he's told you. But when that's not happening and you just feel such and such and such, what happens is if you continue to obey him, for instance, I'm a public person, so I would go on television and stuff, and I'd look at myself, and I look better than ever. I was getting prettier. I said, wait a minute, what's going on? I'm miserable. Of course, and I realized looking at myself and having people look at me, I was not miserable. I had misery around me, but I was not that. Now, these are deep understandings, but God puts this in you if you would give yourself to him. And so I don't want to skip and do like an overall, you know, what happened to me. I want to give you the process so that whether you believe me or not, if you try it, you'll see yourself getting prettier, smarter, stronger, holier, more successful, everything that God wants for you.
It's a choice, then. It's a conscious
Absolutely.
Choice.
You know what? That's what life is. Only thing we can do is choose. The devil was here thousands of years before us, but God was everywhere before he was. And we are a pawn between evil and good. Ever since Adam and Eve ate the tree of good and evil, we have some form of that in the bloodline of the human being. So all we can do is choose. And, but we're commanded to choose. We're commanded to choose life or death. So everybody should know that because we think, well, I'm this, I'm that. No, you're not. You're not anything. It's either the devil or the Lord. Now, when you say I am, if you say and do and study what the Lord says, then you become as he is. You become like him. You can say I am the Lord, so I am the Lord, because that's what you're working toward. But that's the only choice you have. You can either choose good or evil.
How did gratitude factor into each of the days along that journey, even at your lowest moment?
It's a very powerful weapon. The Lord tells us, I know now from all of this anguish and joy and study, that ask him for gratitude. That's the same thing as grace. Because we always have to ask for that because we're kind of in the dark from the devil's influence on the world of pride. That's the thing that slips in and is there when we don't even know it. So to consciously fight that, you ask for gratitude. Ask for the spirit of gratitude. Just continually ask for that. And you'll see that you'll become that. I don't think it's anything that you can just do yourself. It's a gift from God. That's mm-hmm. why I'm explaining it.
Mm-hmm. So choosing to ask for gratitude is a part of the healing process and the recovery process once the dust is settled, or as the dust is settling, and then and beyond.
Yes, and I'm giving you the formula.
I know it to be true myself. I know it works.
Yeah, good.
I know it. Right,
good,
I know it works.
Good.
Talk
because
to
I mean, you know, I could say what my opinion is, but I'm not giving you my opinion. And if you've had the same thing happen, then you can be a witness that what I'm saying really is the truth and the life and the Lord. You know, it's not mine.
It was because I detected these elements of your being. When I was doing some research, I saw an interview with you a couple years ago on another program, and that particular conversation, you know, the interviewer was talking to you about a wide variety of things, but primarily you as an artist. But I was detecting from that conversation and your words that there was something deeper that went beyond the persona and beyond the art form, and that it was spiritual in nature. And even though you didn't reveal it and the process the way that you're doing it now, it was obvious. It was very, very clear and very obvious that God has had grace bestowed upon you and favor in the midst of the trials and the tribulations, and that you have remained faithful, choosing faith over fear. And it was very, very clear. That's why this particular conversation with you right now is to bring that out and to share those tips and those tools and that wisdom with others. I think often, you know, we feel like we're so alone when we're in the valley. Who did you surround yourself with, and who did you, you know, what did you have to do when you closed the door behind you and just had to study and go to a place of peace and quiet? On the outside, who were you surrounded with?
I've been set apart. I haven't been with anyone. I've literally been alone because he set me apart so I could spend time just with him. So now, as he says, your creator has become your husband. And even as we're going into the fifth week of Easter, so that we're becoming not just acquainted with him, not just knowledgeable about his works, not just knowing him, and not just knowing him intimately, but we're growing into becoming one with him.
So more of him,
yes.
Spending more time with him in His Word? Are you also in fellowship with other believers?
Not right now. I have been greatly so. And during the early times, I had great fellowship with many, all kinds of believers, but mainly Christian because I was I'm born again. But during this these last, what can I say, maybe 5 or 10 years, I've really been totally alone. And I've asked a lot about that, but he keeps telling me, well, because I want to be alone with you, my darling.
And I read in 1 Thessalonians 5:5 where God calls us his daughters. And isn't that an intimate phrase to be in association with our Creator as a daughter?
Can I tell you something?
Please do.
That's what my name means, Melba. It means daughter of her papa.
Really?
Yes.
It's beautiful. That takes it to a whole other place. Our names,
yes.
Our names and our choice of words matter. Don't
absolutely.
They count.
They are Emmanuel, or God with us. They actually are that.
Yeah.
We think they're signs and symbols, and they are. But they are his actual presence. And he names you. Everybody knows he names you, but we don't pay attention to that. If you study that like you would a craft, you come to know who you are in him. Now, that's my middle name. My first, guess what my first name is?
What is your first name?
Thanks for asking.
tell us. What's your first name? With a beautiful name like that, tell us.
I'm going to see if you can guess what the meaning is. It's Beatrice.
Oh, that's my grandmother's name. What does it mean? I don't know what Beatrice means.
I think it's a form of beatitude.
Mel, I think she told me that when I was a little girl.
That's all right.
I know that
that means she blessed you with that knowledge.
Yes.
Don't worry. You may have forgotten it, but you won't lose it.
Yeah, Beatrice. Why did you choose to go with Melba?
Because everybody called me when I was a kid, Beatrice. I hate that. I hated that.
She
I love
did
it now.
Too. She,
and I didn't know what it meant.
She did not like it. And I remember as a little girl going to church, you know, with her, and her, you know, correcting people if they said Beatrice. She said, my name
but
is
not
Beatrice.
Not only that, Melba was a great, Melba was my mother's name, but it was also a great opera singer. And once I became aware that I wanted to be a singer, I knew it didn't seem like Beatrice was a good show business name for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking in terms of show business, and you know, and I didn't know the deeper meaning.
You know, I just looked it up. I just looked it up, and I just looked it up, and the name also means voyager of life.
Well, or apostles,
and,
right?
And apostles and beatitudes. So apostles and voyagers of life with expressions of beatitude, with beatitudes.
Yes.
It's a powerful name.
Well,
so it's
blessed me, you know, blessed me. Huh?
A blessed daughter of God, of her papa.
Yeah.
Voyager of life. Tell us what advice you would give to young, well, anyone that's, you know, starting out in their career, aspiring to win a Tony Award and to have their own television show, as you have done. What advice would you give them based on what you've known and experienced and where you are at this time?
All right. The first thing I would do is appeal to people, not just in the arts, and make them understand. I think maybe the greatest lesson I learned in my mature years is that whatever our gifts are, they still need to be coupled or teamed with everybody else's gifts. And so you have to make the search of who you are. And if you're isolated or if you're culturally deprived in any way, or if you have everything and you're listening to this program, which I imagine goes all over the world.
It does.
Wake up in the morning and say, God, who are you? Start with that. And let him tell you what the process is.
And
the reason why I'm saying that, Sylvia, is because, first of all, part of what we have to break through is all the instant gratification that we have and so much that's done for us. We're becoming couch potatoes intellectually in every other way. I mean, we have computers, people can't count anymore. You got 10 fingers, you can still count. But this, and this time for our minds and spirits and souls and brains to blossom, not atrophy. So I don't want to give it all to you. I want to tell you to go to God and let him tell you who he wanted you to be. He's the one who created you. I didn't.
Well, you would have done a pretty good job with this based on what you're learning from
No.
Created with Daughters of Mel. So how do we stay still, though, in the busyness of life to hear him and to distinguish him from others?
You use your power of will, and a four-year-old can do this, to go into a quiet closet room and just sit still and ask for God. Come away from all that. You're not bound to that. That's what I'm trying to bring your attention to, because we get into habits and systems, and we're made in a marvelous way, but we still have to choose, because anything that we're around will come in, and you have to filter that out. And if you don't want noise, you got to go where it's quiet. You are free.
How do parents instill it in their children?
By example.
Did you have it as an example growing up?
No, that's why I know it's so good now.
You live it through experience.
I learned the hard way, so, you know, I'm very happy and grateful, and I'm vindicated, and my life is just beginning. I'm really in the springtime of my life, so I'm excited to share these mysteries of life with your audience.
Tell us about the exciting moments that you're experiencing in the springtime of your life.
Well, let me say that for most Christians, Easter is Easter Sunday. But I'll ask you this, and then you perhaps get what I'm getting at. Have you ever seen anybody resurrected from the dead?
I have seen people who all indications were that they had died, but then they were resuscitated. I've seen people, and I've personally experienced where life seems to have ended, but they're still among us, walking as if dead, and then life revitalized and a new life come forward from the ashes of what others had given up on and thought and presumed dead.
Well, I'm so glad you have had this experience, because it's not one that you can take in one day.
No, and it's not something that is fully comprehended by others that have not experienced it. You know,
right.
there's some things in life you just have to go through it yourself. You know, you just have to know it, see it, and experience yourself before there's this deeper aha moment. And others might look at you as if, you know, they're staring at, you know, like a deer staring into headlights, because they have no clue what you're referring to. But the power of faith over fear, and the power of understanding that the God and Lord who created us from a place of love, and not anger and disappointment and frustration, but from a place of goodness. And to really come into contact with that often happens when the ashes are falling and the dust is settling. but if we have if listeners have the tenacity and the wisdom to listen closely to what you're saying, there is strength that's planted like seeds in their lives. And when those moments come, those dark hours, those moments of despair or disappointment, there's a strength that's been planted that'll start to come forth, and that fruit will flourish, and that will reveal the magic of what was being done on this day-to-day basis of seeking God first, you know?
Well, that's you said it. Thank you.
Please tell us, I know we you know, we only have a few more minutes, but I'd like for our audience to know about your work and where you're performing, and your latest single, and tell us, you know, what we can do to support you and how we can also be praying for you.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned that. I have a brother that I'm going to see today that is literally dying of Alzheimer's and dementia, and he's too young to do that. So I would like intercessory prayer as I go and try to bring Christ to him and bring, I hope, increased knowledge and awareness of bringing healing to people. We have to get stronger at the holy gifts. And I know we kind of, I think, superficially say to each other, pray for each other. But if you've been, if you've witnessed the Lord's power in bringing somebody back to life, those are the kind of prayers I need for my brother and my life. Those are the, that's the kind of power I want to have to represent the Lord. I don't just want to be a nice story and, you know, oh, yeah, isn't that nice? And as the scripture says, a sweet song. I want to bring the power and the presence of Christ. And,
so you need prayer warriors on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. But let me do tell you what my music is. My latest single is called Love Is, and it's just released, and you can go on my website, melbamore.com, and listen to it. You can, it's also for sale on iTunes and all the Internet sales points. And check me out on YouTube. I've got a lot of new footage from London and other places, and Facebook, and it tells my itinerary and everything that I'm doing. Because as you see, I spent all my time with Jesus, so I don't know what
the rest of the schedule might be.
I mean, I know what it is, and I accommodate all of them, but they're on my website. I don't try to remember them.
And the website is www.melbamore.com. MelbaMore.com. So we'll be praying intercessory prayer for your brother and your family.
By the way, let me tell you his name so you can pray for him intimately. His name is Elliot.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll do that. It'll be an honor to pray for him. Any closing thoughts?
Well, yeah. Can I express my gratitude at your depth of knowledge and intimacy with the Lord and who he is and his essence. I'm so excited. That's why I sat and listened to you, because all the things I'm trying to do and say, you are very verbal in. That's the gift that you have. Mine comes more, of course, when I actually get to sing. That's where the greatest anointing is. And when I get to just go out and do community service and just be a walking Emmanuel, or God with us. But I'm very, very, very excited to be with someone who can express verbally what I am and what I love and what I'm thinking and what I'm trying to do. That's you.
Well, thank you very much. You know, the whole purpose of launching SylviaGlobal.com was to bring a message of faith and inspiration, but in a format that's not common. And that's to bring it around discussions of business at a global level, business and how we apply faith in our daily lives as business owners and in running our businesses, large and small, and also as employees. And then also in the areas of philanthropy and leadership, health and wealth, and to understand that the role of faith, no matter how high we might aspire to be, or that we may have achieved, you know, successfully with whatever those goals may have been, there's still, whether a person is religious or not, there's still this element of faith that is a reality that they're applying to their dreams. And there's also it's a fact that there is a spiritual side to all of creation and to us. And it's that spiritual connection that actually is the greater connection. And yes, to have someone like you that's in the public eye, that has experienced what many would consider, you know, the pinnacles of success, and they aspire and admire those, and to see that here's a beautiful lady that has done that, and she's still saying, there's more to my life and who I am and who I was created to be than that. You know, that is what I do, but this is who I am. You know, this is how and why God created us. And I think that's a powerful message that everyone can relate to, because there's no judgment in it. It just, what you spoke today is what it is. You know, this is, there's no misinterpretation, you know.
Not my philosophy or my opinion, honey.
No, it's not. This is a reality of not only for you, but the reality for those who are perplexed and pondering their greater purpose and meaning for being created. So I just thank you so much.
Wow, that's great.
I really hope that...
Yeah, that's what I came to do, but I couldn't have said it like that. Thank you.
Oh, you said so much more. It's my honor. Again, www.melba.com. You can find her schedule. You can support her. And, Lord, I just ask you to have your hand of grace and the power of your presence upon Elliot, upon Melba, and that every word and every action in her life continue to be a blessing to others as she has blessed so many today. God bless you, and thank you. I hope you'll come back again.
Thank you. I certainly will.
Okay. I'm going to attempt to play your song. I'm going to attempt this, and if it doesn't, we'll hear another closing song. And God bless you.
You too. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go check out. Father. In my opinion, the idea, not philosophy, not forming, is what it is. I don't know that, is it? I hope so.